Night came, and the full fury of the Stark Blast came with it. Beyond the strong magic that had at first looked to be no more than a humble napkin, the cold grew apace, driven by a wind that was soon blowing at well over 100 wheels an hour. The windows of the Dogon grew inch-thick cataracts of frost. The ironwood trees behind at first imploded inward, then toppled backward, then blew southward in a deadly cloud of branches, splinters, and entire tree trunks. Beside Tim, his bedmate snoozed on, oblivious. Its body relaxed and spread as its sleep deepened, pushing Tim toward the edge of their covering. At one point, he found himself actually elbowing the tiger, the way one might elbow any fellow sleeper who is trying to steal all the covers. The tiger made a furry growling sound and flexed its claws, but moved away a bit. "Thank you, Sai," Tim whispered. An hour after sunset, or perhaps it was two, Tim's sense of time had gotten lost, a ghastly screeching sound joined the howl of the wind. The tiger opened its eyes. Tim cautiously pulled down the top edge of the sheet and looked out. The tower above the Dogon had begun to bend. He watched, fascinated, as the bend became a lean. Then, almost too fast to see, the tower disintegrated. At one moment it was there, at the next it was flying bars and spears of steel thrown by the wind into a wide lane of what had been, only that day, a forest of ironwood trees. "The Dogon will go next," Tim thought, but it didn't. The Dogon stayed, as it had for 1,000 years. It was a night he never forgot, but one so fabulously strange that he could never describe it, or even remember rationally, as we remember the mundane events of our lives. Full understanding only returned to him in his dreams, and he dreamed of the Stark Blast until the end of his life. Nor were they nightmares. These were good dreams. They were dreams of safety. It was warm beneath the sheet, and the sleeping bulk of his bunkmate made it even warmer. At some point, he slipped down their covering enough to see a trillion stars sprawled across the dome of the sky, more than he had ever seen in his life. It was as if the storm had blown tiny holes in the world above the world and turned it into a sieve. Shining through was all the brilliant mystery of creation. Perhaps such things were not meant for human eyes, but Tim felt sure he had been granted a special dispensation to look, for he was under a blanket of magic, and lying next to a creature even the most credulous villagers in Tree would have dismissed as mythical. He felt awe as he looked up at those stars, but also a deep and abiding contentment, such as he had felt as a child, awakening in the night, safe and warm beneath his quilt, drowsing half in and half out of sleep, listening to the wind sing its lonely song of other places and other lives. "Time is a keyhole," he thought, as he looked up at the stars. "Yes, I think so. We sometimes bend and peer through it, and the wind we feel on our cheeks when we do, the wind that blows through the keyhole, is the breath of all the living universe." The wind roared across the empty sky. The cold deepened, but Tim Ross lay safe and warm with the tiger sleeping beside him. At some point he slipped away himself into a rest that was deep and satisfying and untroubled by dreams. As he went, he felt that he was very wee, and flying on the wind that blew through time's keyhole. Away from the edge of the Great Canyon, over the endless forest and the Fagonard, above the Ironwood Trail, past Tree, just a brave little nestle of lights from where he rode the wind, and farther, farther, oh, very much farther, across the entire reach of Midworld to where a huge ebony tower reared itself into the heavens. "I will go there. Someday, I will." It was his last thought before sleep took him.